going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Well, folks, Monday was a pretty bad day as it relates to rain. I can tell you in my neighborhood, it was coming down hard. I don't know how many inches fell, but it was thankfully it didn't last that long, because had it, I'm sure that we would have had issues that we typically don't experience here. We're joined by Steve Nelson, the general superintendent of the New Orleans Sewage and Water Board, the man who hates the term slow-moving rainstorm probably more than anybody else around. Joins us, Steve. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Newell. I appreciate it. My relationship to weather has changed dramatically since joining the board. So you hit the nail on the head there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I was kind of chuckling just now with the weather report. Like, slow-moving rainstorms this afternoon. It's like, that's not what we want to hear.
That always makes my left eyelid twitch.
Exactly. 10 inches in Algiers, over 9 inches in the upper 9, I think it was, or the lower 9. Huge amounts of rainfall, but presented challenges in a bunch of different ways. It wasn't just one, type of a challenge in depending on what region you looked at, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So looking at those totals, and it's not just the totals, it's the time in which it falls. So everybody's right. Probably heard by this time that inch an hour. Well, if I can take 10 inches if it falls over the course of 12 to 14 hours, which we've had storms like that over the couple of years. In this case, in Algiers in particular, when you get 10 inches of rain over the course of 4 to 6 hours, that's a storm that happens once every 50 to 100 years. So you start getting problems from the catch basin to the pipe to the canal. And that's what we saw there in the upper ninth, or the lower ninth in Algiers, is just the system being overwhelmed.
Yeah. You mentioned to folks, and I think it was reported out on NOLA.com, about retention, infrastructure, and it's something that we need to spend a lot more time looking at. Talk to our audience about that.
Yeah, so the drainage system, and going back to that inch an hour, it's not just the pumps. That's easy to focus on with your pumping capacity, but it starts at the gutter line. It starts at the catch basin. It starts with the conveyance pipes, the small pipes, and then the canals. And if those aren't large enough to handle the water, then it's tough to get it to the pumps. And so if the straw is not big enough, it doesn't matter how big the pump is. If I can't get it there, I can't move it. And storage infrastructure figures into that. It helps. If I can store water, then it can delay the amount of time it takes to get to the pump. That serves a net benefit, too. And in Algiers, folks that live and work there or drive through the area know about the project going on General de Gaulle. It's made that canal significantly larger, which does provide storage. It also increases conveyance. And there's actually another phase of that that's under construction right now that's going to help with both of those, storage and conveyance.
Folks think it's as easy as just dig the canals deeper, but because of our soil conditions, that's easier said than done, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So soil conditions being part of it, groundwater table being another. So if you dig a canal deeper, you end up getting groundwater into it. Anybody that's put a swimming pool in, I haven't, but I happen to know that folks that have, those swimming pools can actually float out of the ground. So just going deeper isn't necessarily the right way to go. You got to go wider too, which is tough to do if you've already got constraints on the size of your streets.
Yeah. You also talked about the need for maybe a periphery department to Sewage and Water Board to really take on the study and maybe implementation or construction of some infrastructure to retain water during the pendency of these significant storms. Talk to us about that. How do you see that? How do you envision that happening?
Well, as the stormwater utility responsible for the management of that water and its conveyance, that is something that we're looking at. We're standing up a dedicated drainage group right now at the board. And I think as folks are also probably aware, up until January of this year, the drainage system has been split, with that small diameter drainage falling under the City of New Orleans, Department of Public Works, and then everything else larger than 36 inches falling within the Sewage and Water Board. And so now that that's consolidated, we have the ability to look at the stormwater system as a whole, and we are in the process of standing up an engineering and maintenance group that will manage and support that.
Yeah. You know, over the years, there's been a desire because, you know, canals are not aesthetically pleasing to close them. As y'all look at the system, any regret? I mean, I know there's been pressure by the public to close these things to create more access to neutral ground space, space to enjoy, you know, green space to enjoy. But I'm kind of curious whether or not that's hurt us overall.
I don't see that as being a major detriment for us. I think when the canal is designed correctly, whether it's open or closed, the key is maintenance. And so if a canal is properly designed, we had a big rain last December, if folks recall, and around Broad and Orleans, there's historically been flooding in that area. Well, there's a canal that runs down Broad that's about 20, 25 feet wide and about 10 to 15 feet tall. And one of my concerns is that we had a big ball of Mardi Gras beads down in the canal. And if a canal's closed, you can't see it. It's not immediately apparent, right? So I got down into the canal, and what I found is that the bottom of it has been designed so it's a V shape that is self-cleaning, and I didn't find a whole bunch of debris there. So what that leads us to is you've got to maintain your surface drainage too. That's where I go back to that drainage consolidation. Now that we're responsible for small diameter drainage, that's where we've got to start. So whether the canals are open or closed, the key is maintaining not just the canal, but what feeds to it and then the pumps that take out of it.
So with what did we have? 72,000 catch basins? Is that the number?
Pretty darn close, give or take. That's right.
Are there any studies in trying to figure out a way to extract leaves and vegetative debris out of the catch basin before it goes into the pipes underneath to try and increase some efficiency there? I mean, you know, a lot of money, yeah. A lot of time and effort have gone into basin cleaning, right? And we're going to the moon, right? I mean, one might think that we ought to be that there ought to be some way that we can design something that where we can maybe not eliminate but minimize the amount of vegetative debris that goes into the lower drain system.
Well, there's a couple of points I'd love to touch on with that, and I appreciate you bringing it up. The system is designed for maintenance, and there are components in it. So every catch basin has a sump, so it's deeper than the pipes in it, or it should be. So when the system is cleaned on a regular basis, what ends up happening is instead of the leaves and the debris getting into the pipes, if you're cleaning it on a regular basis, once every 2 to 5 years, the debris doesn't get into the pipe. And then, of course, it doesn't get into the canal. So recurring, that's why we've talked about recurring revenue to be able to clean 20% or more of the system. That's why it's important, is because it becomes more efficient over time. You're maintaining what's there. We're not just responding or reacting when something happens. The second thing is, if we as individuals can keep leaves in our own trash cans off the street, when I cut the grass, as minimal as it may sound, if I blow that grass into the yard as opposed to blowing it into the catch basin, if I clean up the leaves in front of my house, it may sound minimal, but it makes a difference over time.
There's no doubt. And the reason I ask, I mean, look, my mother-in-law has a home uptown, and literally I could clean the gutter every day. I mean, there's probably 10 huge oak trees within a baseball's throwing of her home, and every day they're dropping leaves, and every day I could fill up a garbage bag, literally. I got to imagine it, that catch basin right there doesn't have a shot. I mean, not a chance. I mean, it's too much, too quick, too fast.
Yeah, in certain times of the year, in particular February and through the spring, when the oak trees are dropping the bulk of their leaves, I mean, we could see it, right? You drive down, you know, Carrollton or St. Charles, the leaves stack up really quickly. So, you're talking about filling up garbage bags. You know, if that's in the future, what we'd like to be able to do is have a sweeping program as well that catches all that stuff before it even gets into the system. So if we keep it off the sidewalks, out of the gutters, and then clean the catch basins on a regular basis, it never gets to the pipes and never gets to the canals.
Yeah. Well, this research dollars, I'm just hoping against hope that somebody designs a catch basin that throws that stuff back out onto the sidewalk.
Active conveyance of the catch basins.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly. Because it's just, I see the challenge. I mean, it's hard. I mean, I maintain my gutter in front of my home. I figure it's the little effort that I can put towards helping the overall system, right? If I have leaves out there, I sweep them up. Put them in a garbage bag.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's once it gets into the system, it's our responsibility. Before that, every little bit does help.
Yeah. Well, as always, Steve, thank you so much for joining us. Best of luck. Hopefully that slow-moving storm this afternoon is not slow-moving and it speeds up. It's Steve Nelson,
Amen.
General Superintendent, New Orleans Sewage and Water Board. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.
We'll be right back, folks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Stay with us. Well, folks, if you've been to the French Quarter lately in the evening hours, you will find that they are letting it shine. And here to talk to us about it is Jane Cooper, French Quarter Management District. Jane, I guess you probably thought you'd never be able to say that we're letting it shine.
You know, I love the musical introduction that your team queued up, and you're right. It is very, very exciting, and as a resident, very important to have the streetlights in the French Quarter working, and they are.
So remind our listening audience what's been going on there.
Sure. Well, if you visit the French Quarter or work in the French Quarter or live in the French Quarter, the lights have been an issue for years. You can walk down a block and none of the lights work, or they've been knocked down and the poles haven't been replaced. So as the city prepared for the Super Bowl and for all of the events that we were going to enjoy in 2025, the French Quarter Management District took the lead with funding through our quarter for a quarter tax to contract to get those lights repaired and replaced.
And y'all were able to finish it before a lot of the big activities that were here. And now I think, is it 100% done now?
And I would say about 98.5% done. You know, one of the challenges is that you get the poles replaced and a delivery truck comes around the corner too quickly and there goes the pole. So we know that ongoing maintenance is going to be very important as well, and we're prepared to step up and assist the city with that as well.
And I hope we're making those people responsible that are knocking these poles down pay for them, right? I mean,
well, great.
The carelessness, you know, as you, and I know you've seen it. You're there a lot more than I am. I kind of sit around and just watch, and it's like some of the carelessness of what's happening there. It'll drive you crazy because you finally get this beautiful light pole up, you know, shining the light, and then you know somebody's knocking it down.
It is an ongoing challenge. One of the other initiatives that French Quarter Management District took on actually last year is to fund and monitor the crime cameras that are in place throughout the French Quarter as well. So when one of those accidents happens that the pole gets knocked down, it should be on a corner where there's footage, crime camera footage, that can be reviewed, which helps hold everyone accountable to address the accident that took place.
I mean, anytime you deploy equipment, you know, it's going to break, right? And it'll be subject to some abuse. And obviously, y'all have thought this through, and there needs to be dollars available to be able to maintain it, fix it, and keep it up and running.
Right. Yeah. When we're prepared to step up and do that.
Yeah. What has been the reaction? I happened to see some of it not too long ago, and I was like, wow, this looks great.
Well, I tell you, combining the streetlights with the cleanliness of the French Quarter with our current contractor, IV Waste, it is very sparkly. It is very sparkly. The reaction has been great. You know, it's nice to walk out the door or walk to your neighborhood restaurant and feel safe. And we should reinforce that lighting is a very big public safety issue. It not only helps the French Quarter look better, but it helps the French Quarter be much safer.
Yeah, you know, and perception is reality, right? And as you have more people that are there, because there's a comfort level that goes up, the safety increases as well. It increases with numbers, so to speak.
And, right.
You know, and when you have lighting, people are more inclined to get to the police, report. It's amazing how all of that is interrelated in the psyche of the human mind. You know, that I'll take that extra measure and I'll go to the police station and say, hey, somebody's getting mugged over here, you know, a half a block down. If it's dark between where you witness it and where the station is, they're not doing it. They won't, you know,
right.
They'll walk the other way.
They'll
want to get out of Dodge, you know, and it's hard to blame folks.
Yeah, so we've really taken that into account. And by the way, we appreciate the continual focus that you have on the French Quarter in your show. It helps us to really reinforce the good things that are happening, and there are a lot of good things happening in the French Quarter.
Well, it's my favorite place in the city, I'll be honest with you. I mean, it's amazing how, as you go to cities around this country, you don't see places like the French Quarter. Very few places have that, and it's so unique in so many different ways. And, you know, just be sitting there and listening to the calliope off the river, that doesn't happen anywhere else. I mean,
yes.
You know, and,
right.
And we tend to, and human nature is you take things for granted. You have it, you forget to manage it, massage it, tend to it carefully, because we take it for granted. And we have to step out of ourselves, I think, a lot of time and recognize what we truly have.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you're listening to that calliope walking along the river or down Royal Street, you can have a to-go drink in your hand, which definitely happens nowhere else in the country, right?
I get chills down my spine. It's just one of those things. I mean, I feel like I'm stepping back in time for lack of a better term. We're going to have Emily Madero on from French Quarter Fest. I was down there 3 to 4 days. I loved it. I mean, I didn't stay all day, mm-hmm. but I popped in, popped out. It was easy, you know, parking on the other side of Poydras and walking into the quarter, felt safe. Didn't matter what hour we did it. It was awesome. People really well behaved this year, too. We had that unfortunate incident the last night, but it was just, it just felt good. You know? Go ahead.
I was going to say, that's why we have, you know, over 15 million tourists coming here every year, because there's nowhere else like it in the United States.
So I know you guys never sit on your laurels. So you have the streetlight repair project now mostly done. So what's next for you guys?
We are working on a couple of things, primarily some improvements on ramp, continued improvements on Rampart Street with street markings and signage. And actually, we are going to be funding and managing signage and painting throughout the French Quarter for things like no parking zones, bicycle lanes, crosswalks. We really are focusing next on parking enforcement. We feel like that's the new streetlight project. And to enforce the parking the way it needs to be enforced, you have to have signage and street markings that are easy for people to understand.
Yeah. The streets are tight, right? And, you know, making a left or making a right, if you have a larger type vehicle, it's a challenge when people are not parking appropriately.
Right. Yeah, and it's part of being, again, being a safe city, making sure that EMS can get through and, you know, following the rules.
Now, how about street signs? I mean, I know for a long time there, and unfortunately, people like the look of the sign and they steal them. You know, it's like, the sign was there yesterday. I saw it. I know I did.
I think Bourbon Street gets stolen the most.
Yeah.
You know, a college kid wants a sign from Bourbon Street in their dorm room.
It's just hard to keep up with, I guess.
Right. And, you know, the city, we work with the Department of Public Works, that is the city department that is responsible for many of these things. And we're hopeful that over time, you know, they will take responsibility for the projects that belong to them.
Yeah. And it's something you have to pay attention to on a daily basis. I've heard Freddie King talk about it a lot. He seems to be concerned about that, too. You know, and you finally get it done, and all of a sudden, you know, people are taking signs again. And it's like, it's a little frustrating. I know. I mean, as sheriff, I used to get those complaints in Jefferson Parish. They had a same thing, a couple of streets. For whatever reason, somebody wanted that sign. It was like almost a monthly thing. You know, you tell the sign department, just make a dozen of them, please, because they seem to disappear all the time.
Yeah. We'll do our best to make sure that Bourbon Street signage is up 24/7, 100%.
The sidewalks. What are you hearing from the city and folks about sidewalks?
Well, we don't have an official reporting mechanism for sidewalks at this point. I think just as a person that walks and runs around the French Quarter a lot, the sidewalks continue to be an issue. GNO Inc. did a masterful job leading all of the efforts for the Super Bowl so that our city was able to be, you know, very well represented for that event. I'm not sure all the sidewalks got fixed that we wanted to be fixed, but that could be another project that FQMD takes a look at down the road.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. It seemed to me if you had, you know, like one crew, you know, with a generator, a stone cutter, and a couple of guys, you know, constantly working on it, just doesn't seem like it would be that much, you know, and able to repair the sidewalks and keep them grouted and everything else. I mean, it's just, I've actually laid some of that stone myself, and I'm not an expert by any stretch of the imagination. It's just not that hard. I mean, you just got to stay focused. Yeah. And I saw DDD had a little crew out in advance of the Super Bowl, and they got a lot done in a very short period of time because we were back and forth to Radio Row in the convention center, and I made it my business to kind of take a different path back to the office every day. And you could see what was recently repaired, right? And it didn't take a lot of time, and I thought they got quite a lot accomplished in a short period of time. I think the same could hold true for the French Quarter.
That's a great recommendation. Because it's actually a smaller geographic area than the DDD.
Yeah, so, they just had a little trailer. You could have a side-by-side unit pull the trailer, you know, a little generator on it to get the stone cutter, you know, done and throw it in. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It just seems that, I don't know why the city doesn't think about these things, because it's not a big cost item. It doesn't, it's not so human capital intensive, and you can get a lot done in a short period of time. And the stuff that they have, the grout material that they have, dries so fast now. It's not like you have to block the sidewalk off for weeks at a time and put the cones up. I want to be in that cone business, Jane. I don't know about you, but I'm trying to figure out a way to get in that cone business because, man, there are freaking cones all over the place. I mean,
all over the place, and then they're never picked up. So I don't know who is responsible for buying cones, but they must be, they must have permanent employment because let's pick up the cones and reuse them. But, you know, again, that takes execution, doesn't it?
Well, let me thank you and your group. I mean, this is a testament to private-public collaboration, cooperation, working together, investing in oneself. You guys are all busy. I mean, you know, you have your life, but you dedicate a lot to this precious jewel that we have. And I think people need to appreciate more what the French Quarter Management District does. I know I do. And you guys have been truly difference makers down there, and we appreciate it. And thank you for saying.
Thank you for your observations and your support and for giving me the opportunity to come back on your show and talk about what French Quarter Management District is doing.
Anytime. Ms. Jane Cooper, French Quarter Management District, thank you so much. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. And don't forget, in the next hour, we'll be giving out that code word for the Jazz Fest tickets. So stay.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
With us. Back to the insurance data that Governor Jeff Landry was talking about. I have this huge spreadsheet. It's called the Bodily Injury Claim Count Incurred Losses. Got it from the Insurance Commissioner's Office. It's a National Association of Insurance Commissioners auto database report. It's over a 10-year period of time. The most current information that they had was on these claim counts was in 2021. So Louisiana has 4.6 million people, and in 2021, we had 66,649 incurred claims for automobile claims that year. California had more than us, but they have almost 40 million people, right? Georgia had more than us. They have a little over 10.5 million people. North Carolina had more than us, and they have about 10.5 million people as well. Interestingly, those are the only three states that have more claims than we have in Louisiana. And as I was looking at this data over the past 3 or 4 days, I mean, it's striking the frequency of claims here in Louisiana. And the 66,000 number is really not the highest. In 2019, we had 68. In 2018, 67, 68 in 2017, 72,000 in 2016, 66,000 in 2015. These numbers are kind of remarkable. And consistently, we are the fourth highest in the country in a number of claims. Those claims equate to $1,063,000,000 in incurred losses on those claims. So obviously there's something going on here. So, you know, when you look at states that have a very similar population base to ours, like Oregon, for example, there's about a 300,000 population separation between us and them. They had 21,000 claims. And they were represented with $443 million in losses. We were over $1 billion. They had half the claims we had in Louisiana. So there's something going on. There's no doubt about it. When you look at it graphically, it's pretty telling as to the number of claims here. And in the auto world, what's important to know is that most people are experience rated, but there is a community impact influencer here that goes on as well. When you have the frequency of the claims and then the amount of the losses, you know, going back to, let's go to Virginia. Virginia has almost twice our population, right? We had 66,000 claims. They had 49,000 claims. And those 49,000 claims equated to about $880 million in incurred losses. And, you know, you see this going throughout all of these states that have more population. And Tennessee, 6.9 million people. We're at 4.6. And they had 32,000 incurred claims, half of what we had here in Louisiana. Out that there's an opportunity here. I mean, how this and plays itself out, I'm not sure. But, you know, all of these states have metro areas that are very similar to ours. It's not like we have huge metro areas in this state. Take Indiana as another great example. 6.7 million people in Indiana. They had 26,000 claims. I mean, almost three times less than what we had here. And $500 million in losses on those. So there is something happening. I mean, this is the outcome. We need to figure out the why. And I think there's value in what's happening in the legislature right now. I don't know that we're going to see impact in a year, though. And that's the one thing that, you know, I don't know that we're going to be able to judge it and say, oh, in a year from now, we're going to have some things that are going to make a big difference for us in a premium base. I think it's going to take longer. I think it's going to be more like a 3 to 5 year thing. But you got to start somewhere, right? And we just soon start now. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Folks, when we return after the top of the hour news break, we're going to visit with Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer. We'll be talking about Saints 2025 draft talk. And in the back half of the next hour, Emily Madero joins us, president and CEO of the French Quarter Fest. We'll find out what the numbers reveal as it relates to the success of that festival this year.